our gatherings unto you. Lord God, you said that for unto you shall the gathering of the people be. As we gather here this evening, Father, I humble myself. I recognize that without you I am nothing. Wherefore, I look to you for fresh relief and for mercies. Lord Jesus, ask for grace in sufficient measure. Lord Holy Spirit, you are indeed a true friend, one that upholds those that lean on you for help. That Lord, you will help me, that through me, undercover myself spiritual appearance this day, you will do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or can think. I come like that little boy with these 5 loaves and 2 fish. That Lord, you will multiply that everyone will have enough and will have leftover in the name of Jesus. As we go into your word, Father, I pray that you make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. I cause as the word goes forth, it will go forth in power and clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal and eternal work in our hearts, making our will to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by revelation light from your word, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light concerning the times that we are in and what we as your Israel ought to do. I pray for mercy and grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary, that you come and bring glory and praise to your name. Holy Spirit, Lord, I lean on you. Come and have your way. Come and help me. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Much, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy. Some days ago, I was just reading my Bible, just being obedient to what we are told to do. And a scripture came to me. And the more I meditated upon it, I was amazed at how God linked it to what is going on right now. And the title of the message is The Path of the Just and the Way of the Wicked. Let's say it together. The Path of the Just and the Way of the Wicked. Let's say it once again. The Path of the Just and the Way of the Wicked. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and read verses 18 and 19. It's a very, just an exhortation based on what is going on this time. The Path of the Just and the way of the wicked. That's how the Bible puts it. So let's all read together. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The next verse. Next verse, please. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. So we can see two things there. It talks about the path of the just and then the way of the wicked. So you can see two parts there. And I put it there, as like I said, this speaks about two categories of Christian that you always find in the body of Christ. From the Old Testament, it runs from Genesis down to Revelations. You see, when Rebecca was pregnant, they told her that she had two nations in her womb, talking about Jacob and Esau. You see, Cain and Abel. The Bible talks about the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. So you find these two categories of Christians spread through the scriptures. Those that will follow on to know the Lord and those that will refuse to follow on to know the Lord. You see the wise virgins and you see the foolish virgins. So you see, actually, the Bible is written for us Christians, even though it talks about unbelievers. So everything written there is coded language. So like I said, it speaks about two categories of Christians. And even the one that he calls the wicked one is also a Christian, a born-again Christian. What makes us just is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's that blood that justifies us. So both of these Christians you see in the book of Proverbs, because the book of wisdom, have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it speaks of two paths. The path of the righteous or the path of the wicked. Same thing, way. So what are we going to talk about today as we continue? I put it here, it's not a long message. I said the word determines the path that we all follow is dependent on the instructions of the Father that we keep. You see, when I talk about path, it's not talking about moving from Ibadan to Lagos. It's the instructions that we keep that determine whether we end up like the wicked person or the just, in which the path will keep on shining and shining onto the perfect way. He said the wicked is way is as darkness. You know, it doesn't know where it's going to and it stumbles. Already you should understand where we're going to. The end of the message is love. Bible says that the end of the commandment is what? Charity, love, out of a pure heart, and of faith, unfeigned. And the Bible says, I show you a more excellent way, which is love. So when it talks about way or path, something like that, same thing. The master himself says something. He said, straight and narrow is the way. Few be those that find it. He said, but wide is the way. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many go thereby. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're talking about. So let us see. I said, what determines the path to follow is the instructions that we keep or we do not keep. So Proverbs, let us back up a bit. Proverbs chapter 4, let us read verse 1. Looking at the path of the just. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Are we there? Say, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Let's get that. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. Because of time, we'll move on to verse 12. Because it keeps talking about instruction of a father. Say, when thou goest on those paths, thy steps shall not be straightened, even though you are walking the straight and narrow way. Are you following me? He said, because you keep those instructions, I begin to work up, keeping those instructions, I'm getting ahead of myself, faster and all that. He said, you're not going to straighten. But if you don't keep those instructions, it will be too straight for you. Your steps will be straightened. At least you will be falling all the time. So follow my train of thought. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. He talks about the wicked. He said the wicked, he walks in darkness, doesn't know where he stumbles. Somewhere in the book of John, we'll get there later. He says, talks about he that hated his brother. He says he's in darkness, the darkness has blinded his eyes. He said something about stumbling. It's no question of stumbling anyway. We're going to get there later. So it says, also, will you not stumble? Verse 13. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. 13, please. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, we need to be sure of the instruction he's talking about. That's why I read verse 1. He's talking about the instruction of the Father. We've been taught very well. But I just said, let me read those scriptures so that we can understand. Then the Bible talks about the wicked. Most times when we hear about the wicked, our mind goes to bad people in the world that are not born again, which is true. But see, whenever the Bible is talking about the wicked, most times in the Bible, it's talking about Christians. Psalm 50, and we look at verse 16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 50, verse 16. Please hurry up. But unto the wicked, God said, what hast thou to do to declare my status, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? What is that covenant? The law written upon our hearts. Next verse, please. Sin, say sin. Thou hatest instruction and casteth my words behind thee. Now that is the whole testament. So we can argue it in our minds and say, maybe that is in the Old Testament. That is, nobody was born again. But if we open up the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, we'll see who the wicked is. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. Please put it on the board. What does it say? But them that are without God, God judges. Now, he was talking about what happened. Let me give background. So, it's this boy that was having an affair with his stepmother. So, he said that, Paul was saying that, look, you don't disturb yourself now. Those that are outside, God will judge them. And I said, therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person was among them. Born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, but because he allowed the nature of Satan to dominate him without keeping the instructions that Paul gave them, he was controlled by the wicked one. I don't have time to tell me. Somewhere in the book of John, he's talking about Cain. He said he took his nature of that wicked one and slew his brother. That's why he says that he that hated his brother is a murderer. You see some of these things that we play with. Pastor said so beautifully about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said that the loss of the flesh and Satan's desire has been expressed through man. You see, when you begin to see all these things like hatred, anger, envy, as Satan trying to express. You see, Satan does not have a physical body. So he needs a body. Like the Bible says, for a body that has prepared for him. God also needs a body to manifest his own fruit. And his fruit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. So Satan also needs a body to manifest. When you see those things that way, you're going to begin to love righteousness and hate wickedness. I can never forget some time ago. Many years ago, I was kind of in hatred. And I was coming for all night. As I entered at that old man, Lord spoke to me. He said, you're a murderer. I said, what? Immediately I knew what he was talking about from scripture. So don't point him to that something. Immediately I had to repent. So this little thing that we have about hatred, envy, say, you're a murderer. Because if you do not deal with those little things, look, they are going to grow to become a monster. Like Papa Ralph said, that the garden snake, how did it become a dragon? from Genesis to Revelation, turned to a dragon, a red great dragon, because it was not dealt with. Praise the Lord. So I put it in my notes here. I say both parts have an end. Let's look at that. Both parts have an end. We need to know that. So let's look at the end of wicked first. I'm not going to be talking too much about wicked today. I want to see the path of the just. So what does it say? That's the path of the wicked. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. Matthew 13, verse 47. Are we there? Let's look at that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Born again. Next verse. It came into the kingdom. It came in. Which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and began to gather the goods into vessels. But they did what? They cast the bad away. Are you following me? I think there's one more verse. Let's keep on. Next verse. So, shall it be at the end of the world? When he's talking about the end of the world, he's talking about a period of time in which different things are going to be happening. The third day, where different things are going to happen. When the harvest comes in the natural, different things, you start seeing different things happening. So, it's not the one day. I'm not talking about the very end. Are you following me? So, it says, the day of the Lord. It says that, shall come and sever, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just. Next verse. And shall cast them into what? The furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, again, we need to understand that as an application to those that go to hell. But it also talks about the kind of affliction that will come against those that dwell upon the earth. The fire of affliction. I follow me. So let's open the Bible again to Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, just to put some scriptures behind this. We are not the wicked in Jesus' name. So what does it say? It says, but the children of the what? Kingdom. Those that are outside are not the children of the kingdom. Say, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I just read that again. Say, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast. That means they were the children of the kingdom before. It was this the background is what he was talking about. He said, you shall see that Abraham and they shall come and sit in the kingdom of God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. You see that word gnashing of teeth, and I mean casting outer darkness. Just means the outer darkness of the outer court. You know, I says, let's read again. So we'll see, it's clear now. Say, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Bible also says we are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets. So you can link that to the structure we're talking about. Next verse. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That's in fire of affliction. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Next verse. We're already in that day. And if any man's work abide, which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. We know we are talking about next verse. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So that is the way. That's why this is the way of the wicked. This is as darkness. It's getting darker and darker. But the root cause is in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, because the same discourse. Are you following me? That's why it says that darkness shall cover the earth. Yea, gross darkness, the people. That darkness there is not physical darkness. It's talking about darkness of the mind. That they don't know what they are stumbling at. They are alive, but yet they are dead. But that is not our portion in Jesus' name. So let's begin to look at the end of the judge. This is what I want to focus on, but it's good to mention it. These are you have these two parts in the body of Christ. So we need to begin to watch ourselves and know that we have to make sure that we are walking in the right path. So I believe we're walking in the right path in Jesus' name. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. He talks about the end. He says, surely there is an end. Are we there? He says, let not thy heart envy sinners or the wicked, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. What? Next verse. For what? Why? For what? Surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. There is an end. So, progressively, let's see the end of the just. I put it here. I say the path of the just, like we read along, it says, shines more and more unto the perfect day. We are in a perfect day, it's ordained. Well, what is the end of just? The end of just in this perfect day is when a day star will arise in their hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says, the path of just is a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So what will happen at that perfect day we are in? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you will take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, the path of just. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So notice, the kingdom of God is from within, not from outside. So the day star is about to arise in our hearts, because I believe that we are under the right covering and we are the just that God is talking about. I put it here, it's not long, but I say, why is this message important? Because what God was getting across to me was like, I read my Bible and he said quite a lot of things, but I could not keep cope. And trust that I'll be able to see as much as I can see. Help me, Holy Spirit. So I put your point on more. I say, we are in the fourth watch of the seventh day. Just like in the natural 24-hour day, you have the fourth watch, which is from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So in this seventh day, which is third day from Christ, you know, the Bible says, 1,000 years it has one day, serve the Lord. We are already in the fourth watch of the seventh day. So, in which the day star will arise in our hearts, and the dawning of this third day. The day is about to dawn. You see, I believe by the grace of God, we are no longer, if you're using the natural, the 24-hour period, we probably be around 5 to 6 now. You're around 5 to 6 o'clock. If you are using, you are talking about the fourth watch of the seventh day. And I said something, I said that, now shall we know those who are followed on to know the Lord. You see, everybody that's been hearing this message, we believe that we are following on to know the Lord. But when the day dawns, you will know those that don't have a wedding garment and those that have a wedding garment. Because you'll be able to say, the day star has arisen in this person's heart. So it will not be a question of story. It will not be a question of, okay, I'm under pastor's covering. We all know. That's why it says, open Hosea chapter 6. We're already in that day. That I know is clear in my mind by the grace of God. Say, then shall we know. Okay. After 2 days, will he revive us? And in the third day, prophetic day, 1,000, he what? Raise us up. He's not talking about the rapture here, even though it applies. We have been raised up now, like we know. You know, with all these prayers that we're doing. And we shall live in his sight. Now, how are we going to know? Next verse. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He's going forth, he's prepared as the morning. So it's going to happen. We're going to know when the day breaks. And it shall come unto us as what? The rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. So you see, what we are going to see, what is going to happen, is that there's going to be so much. When this rain begins to come, like a deluge, they know that we're already 6 o'clock. But by then it's too late. Are you following me? So follow my train of thought. So that is how we're going to know whether we are following. Not just some people are following Jesus Christ. He said, if a man follow me, and thousands were following him. I follow him. So the many in the body of Christ now, they assume they are following Jesus. But we are going to know in this time. Why? Because we're in the fourth watch of the seventh day. Say, we're in the fourth watch of the seventh day. That's going to be very important as we continue this message. Praise the Lord. So the second point I have here is, I say we are in the time that Elijah is asking for rain on Mount Carmel. I have no doubt, because God spoke to me. It's clear. So I'm only trying to look for scriptures to explain the way he spoke to my heart some days ago. Let's say together, we are in the time that Elijah is asking for rain on Mount Carmel. It's significant to know, how was he asking for rain on Mount Carmel? Through intercession. But not just any intercession. It was through the effectual and fervent praying. So let's put some scriptures behind. You need to understand the times and the seasons and what we ought to do. You need to understand the times. So when you now begin to see through New Testament scriptures, the Old Testament types and shadows, you cannot understand, because they contain the detail or what we are going through right now. So, Elijah goes to the mountain. We'll look at that story. And before I get to Elijah, let's open our Bible to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. You see, Elijah was asking for rain. In terms of latter rain. But God gives him clouds instead of giving him rain. Because you cannot have rain without clouds. Many times we are asking for miracles. We are asking for miracles. God says, okay, no problem. But before the miracles can come, something must come before the miracles. Are you following me? So the clouds must come before the rain. Are you following my train of thought? So, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Pastor has preached from this many times. He said, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make. Say make. That means they were not there before. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. So Elijah was right. He understood the times and the seasons, that this is the time to ask for rain. So he went to the top of Mount Carmel and he began to pray. So let's look at Elijah. Because the Bible says, he will make. It says that the Holy Spirit, he maketh intercession for the saints. Follow my train of thought. That's how you make. Said the Spirit himself takes all together and he makes intercession for the saints. That's how you make. Clouds don't, spiritual clouds. Now, I'm not talking about natural clouds. They don't just come like that. So hold that work at the back of my mind. That was make. So let's open to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Mind you, we're talking about the path of the just that keeps shining until the perfect day. And that perfect day, the day that will arise. Follow my train of thought. So, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Are we there? And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink. For there is what? A sound of the abundance of rain. The man heard the sound before he saw anything. Just like Daniel said, I understood by the books. So when he understood, he heard that sound. Then he said, ah, is it time for to ask God for the latter rain? So he went to Mount and went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he did what? He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. If you remember the master, when he was in Gethsemane, Bible said he went to a stone's cast and left the others behind. That talks, you know, stone in the Bible talks about revelation. There is a stone's cast, I mentioned it here before, that takes you within the veil. Are you following me? There is a stone's cast that you move, that takes you, degree of revelation, of intercession that takes you within the veil. So Elijah too does the same thing, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees in intercession. Next verse, we're going to. And said to his servant, go up now. Follow me now. Say, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. We're in the 7th day. That's why I said we're in the 4th day, 4th watch of the 7th day. So this thing has been occurring for a long time. Just that the clouds have not appeared. So he said, but when he sends his servants to go up, he said, go, he said, please put it back there, please. Don't change when I tell you to change. Please put it back there. The verse previous says, and said to himself, I said, go up now, look what you see. He said, when he told him to go and look what you see, he now he said, look, that is, go and look for a sign in the heavens. I think I need to know a sign. See, because when that sign appears, you see that immediately Elijah saw the sign. He just stood up. The rain didn't start before he started running. So then when you see this sign in the heavens, know that the redemption dread now. Next verse. Next verse, please. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, say behold, means see, look and see. There ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. See, speaks about people in the Bible. Humanity. So it starts as a little cloud. Like a man's hand. A man's hand speaks about the fivefold ministry. The fullness of the anointing that the master carried. Say that these are those that are walking in submission to the instructions of the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists. So I see a little cloud. Are you following me? I'll come out of the little cloud, out of the sea. Are you following me? How can a cloud come out of the sea? I thought the sea is down here, the cloud is up there. I follow him. So he said, out of the sea. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get it down that the rain stop be not. You know, he has told this guy to go before. So you can see the two different people again, Israelites. The guy is still like Lot. He said, go and eat. I can hear the abundance of rain. But this guy was still staying there. So now he said, go and tell him again that look, this what I've said is surely going to come to pass. Are you following me? And it came to pass at the 7th time. And get okay, next verse 45. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. He said, in the meanwhile, we're going to look at that meanwhile very soon, amplified. He said, the cloud was black with clouds. That's what I was sharing on Sunday. But he said, I'm black and I'm comely. Every time the Bible talks about clouds, it talks about natural cloud, please. But I'm talking prophetically, trying to teach under grace and covering prophetically. Bible talks about the cloud of witnesses. So we are compassed about with a so great a cloud of witnesses, and they are black. So why would God put black there? Are you following me? So it says that, and the wind also talks about doctrine. Are you following me? Wind and rain. He says, and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Now put the same verse in the book of in Amplified to me. Let's in the meanwhile. See what it says. It says, in a little while. Are you following my train of thought? The same Bible says, yet a little while. He that shall come. So we know the cloud we are talking about. It says that in a little while, the heavens were black with swept clouds, and there was a great rain, and Ahab went. So it says, yet a little while. He that shall come, and shall not tarry. It says, are you following me? So it says that, that's the same thing it says in the book of Haggai. He said, yet a little while. You see, we are in the short period of time. I can't keep moving. I will shake the heavens and the earth. When you begin to see those things happening in the nations, we know we are in that little kairos moment. Romans somewhere there, he says that the God will do a quick work and it will cut it short in righteousness. So what we think will take like 10 years, max 2 years, God has finished. So we must not be caught napping. So we see that let's go back now as we continue. Like I said that we're in that time that Elijah is asking God for rain on Mount Carmel. And I said, this is why it's very important. He didn't just ask for rain. There was a way in which he asked for rain, in which James now begins to tell us. James chapter 5, verse 16. That's how you know. That's how you can look at the Old Testament scripture, and then you see yourself interpreting it through the New Testament light, reality. Are we there? It says, and the prayer of faith, let's go, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Now, next verse. See what he begins to say. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, follow me. It says, the what? Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, that takes it back to what Elijah did. Next verse. Elijah was a man subject to life questions as we are. So, everybody can be part of what God is doing. Are you following me? And he did what? Pray. That is the key. He said what? Prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Next verse. The same way he prayed passionately with his infirmities. Are you following me? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth a fruit. The precious fruit of the earth. That's why it says, if you move down, what it says, move, let me just go there. Let me just go there. Where it says that, be ye therefore patient unto the coming of the Lord. So see, when you look at the scriptures, they are clear, unless we are going to be dishonest. Because he keeps talking about this thing, and he says that, where he says that, same area, he says that, be patient therefore unto the coming of the Lord, for a husband man had long patience, until he received the former and the latter rain. And he's talking about fruit. Are you with me? God will have mercy. Let me just this, five what? Seven. Okay, it says, but ye be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, we know the Father, God the Father. Lord just Christ said, my Father is the husbandman. So, waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Now, Elijah says that when he prayed, he said, the rains came on the earth and they had brought forth fruit. So, we are in that sense. That's why you see us making those confessions about the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Is that a time in which that fruit will come in its fullness, the perfection of the love of God. Praise the Lord. So like I said, it is this particular type of prayer. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. It's the effectual, the fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. It is that rain. It is that prayer. And it does two things. It will create the cloud. Say, it will create the cloud and it will pour out the rain. You see, so it was when it's first thing that happened when Elijah was praying was He created the cloud. That is where we are now. Follow my thinking. That is where, you see, if you are waiting for the rain, you've missed it. You will see the cloud first. Like the feast of a man. Arise out of the sea. I follow him. So you can see that feast now. So this intercession, this kind of prayer, is what will make the cloud. And then it's that same prayer that will make the rains come down. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of whom I travel in birth, until you become a cloud. Follow my thinking. That's some of the ways God spoke to me. My little children, of whom I travel in Christ, in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. When Christ is formed in you, you become a cloud. Or if you are in the process, and follow me, it's being formed, they see it becomes little, then it's expanding. I follow him. So, I said, once the clouds appear, then the rains are bound to come. So, I'm here to say that the clouds have already appeared. Praise the Lord. So, that is the second point. The third point I put here, I said, it is the day of clouds in which the battle, in which you take the battle to the gates of the nations. I've said three things. There are just three things. That is very important. The first point is that we are in the fourth watch of the seventh day. That is the day star will rise in the heart. So the second point is that, look, when that time that Elijah is on Mount Carmel and he casts himself down and begins to pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, effectual and fervent praying, I follow me, so that why? The clouds can appear. And I said the clouds have appeared. So we are now in the day of clouds. Say, we are now in the day of clouds. And what is the significant, the most important reason why God is bringing the clouds? I put it there. It is because it is the day in which we take the battle to the gates of the nations. That is the reason for the clouds. It's up there. So it can rule from above. Now follow me as God brought it down to me, step at a time. Isaiah 28 verse 6. Just follow me. Are we there? Let's read together. And for a spirit of judgment to him that seated in judgment, and for strength, say strength, for strength to them that do what? Turn the battle to the gates. It's not talking about physical agony gates. Pastor has taught us, you have five gates in your own physical body, your five physical senses. That is the gateway that the enemy operates, or that God can operate from. So there are also gates in the nations of the world. So you see, it is the forming of the clouds signifies that, look, we are already possessing the five gates, the eye gates, the ears, and everything. Are you following me? So there is also a gate that opens in the heavenlies to the nations of the world. Are you following my train of thought? Now I said, unto them that, let's see, that turn the battle to the gate. Say strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Let's say once again, strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Now, which gate are they turning the battle to? And then lay hold of our word strength. Psalm 68, verse 34. God is the strength that turn the battle to the gate. Psalm 68, verse 34. Ascribe ye strength unto God, his excellencies over Israel. And his what? Strength is where? In the clouds. So it is Dios that take the battle to the gates. That's where the strength is. God's strength is in the clouds. God's end time army is in the clouds. So follow me. Say, give God his strength and take the battle to the gates. The gates we are taking to the nations of the world. The end time move of God. So say, it's strength. Say, God. Say, God. He said, your strength is in the clouds. Say, your strength is in the clouds. Now, he's not talking about a physical cloud, but I mentioned, he says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. A great and a strong people set in battle array. For strength of God is in this day in the clouds of witnesses. Psalm 24, read from verse 1. Are we there? The earth is the Lord. So it's talking about the earth. And the fullness thereof. And the world, and they that dwell therein. So talk about, he said, ask of me the eating for thy inheritance, that uttermost part for the earth, for their possession. Follow my thought. Next verse. He hath founded it upon the seas, and establish it upon the floods. Next verse. Because the day before, they were these were bold guys, bold brass when they were saying that the water under the ground. And I said, haven't you read this psalm before? Haven't you read this psalm before? If you dig deep enough, you get water. Because that's how God established it. Next verse. Okay. Who shall ascend on into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that had what clean hands and a pure heart and had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Next verse. Pastor Kunle was declaring it, I think it was this morning. Say, he shall what? Receive the blessing from the Lord. What blessing? The blessing of the fullness of eternal life. And from the Lord of and righteousness from the God of his salvation. But see, that has loved righteousness, that has hated iniquity. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. This is the generation. Say, this is the generation of them that what? Seek him. Now clarify, it's not just seek him. That seek thy face, O Jacob, to become like him. So we're talking about the generation here. The strength in the clouds. That's why God is going to deposit his entire strength. Next verse. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Those that take the battle to the gates. Next verse. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Lord mighty in battle. Next verse. Say, lift up your heads, O ye gates. So he's talking about the gates of nations. And even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So we can see that what God is doing now, we're in the day of those clouds. And you and I have to become a cloud. So we become that cloud. Because that is why God is going to put the deposit of the Spirit of that measure that are taken to the nations. Without we are declaring this psalm, that lift up your heads, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors, and be ye lifted up. So God and I began to show different aspects of these people, the character, in Joel's army. So I'll try to, at a step at a time, to show you, so we can link scriptures. Let's put in Joel chapter 2. Help me to remember that. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Say, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is at night at hand. Night. We're already in the next verse. A day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of what? Clouds. So I said, this is the day of clouds. But see, again, he's not talking about literal cloud. And it of thick darkness. That is for the wicked. As the morning spread upon the mountains, now shall we know if we follow one to know the Lord. For his goodness forth is as the morning. Follow my train of thought. A great people. So it's not that cloud, it's a great people. Said, for a great. Have we gone ahead? Or say, a great people and a strong. They have not been ever like. None shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Next, yes, one time event, the end time event. Never. A fire goeth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as what? As the garden of Eden. Before them and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. Next verse. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so they run. Let's go to verse 8 because of time. I don't want us to take too much time. Say, what is it? Say, neither shall one trust another. They shall walk in every man in his own path. And when they fall upon, they shall not be wounded. They're talking about unity. But opposite, the path of the just is as a shining light. So those that are walking in that path of the just, is the same thing he's talking about here. Say, they are walking their own path. That is the path of the just. That shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect thing. Are you following me? So, some days ago, I was on Sunday after this service and we're there and so me and particular talk next I don't look him and share the scripture. I was really blessed by it. That let's talk about the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 9. Talking about when the master left. Up there it says, and when he had spoken this thing unto them, why they said why they beheld and was what? Taken up. And a cloud what? Received him out of his sight. Now, I'm not saying it's not a literal cloud, understand? But we're trying to teach prophetically. Next verse. And why they looked steadfastly? Why? Toward the heavens, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. That's it, they were expecting, you've gone. When are you going to come back? You're looking to in physical. That's what it means. Next verse. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? The kingdom of God is not by observation. This same Jesus, say this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so what? So come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven. How did he go to heaven? He went in a cloud. So he's coming back in a cloud of witnesses. That was Sadro who was sharing me and Pastor Kunle the other day. So I just stole a revelation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says that, seeing therefore that you are compassed about, we so create a cloud of witnesses. You can look at that compass like surround, but also a cloud of witnesses that are fully developed in the compassion of God. They now compass the earth. Are you following me? The great cloud. He says, seeing that, he says, wherefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great, say that word again, great cloud. It keeps coming up. A great and a strong people. Are you following me? They lay aside. That's what we are doing now. Every weight and sin, the same thing one have been shouting about, every superficial of nothingness. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so believe, and do what? Run with patience the race that is set before you. It's because if you don't run, you can't take off. You have to get on the wrong way. That's what we do every morning. Run that you may obtain. So we get on the wrong way. We begin to be, then you take off. Then you see the cloud come out of the sea and then go up. Are you following me? So, now I put something here. Help me, Lord. I said, what will God do to them? We need to know. Pastor has taught us. What is God going to do? We already mentioned this disciple of nations when I'm talking about, you know, Psalm 24. But you see, I put something there. Pastor taught when I'm talking about the armies of God. I'll start with that. Put in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. They have one primary assignment. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Let's see it. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army, which I sent among you. Talking about the Jewel's army. So why, how come they're able to restore the years? It's like you've lost 3 years. God forgive me, in school. And I say, do one exam. And then you just, because of the spirit without measure. So because the instant miracles take place, the ability of the mind of Christ. You see, a man of 80 years old, he goes back to school and gets his doctorate degree. Well, how did you do? When the world is saying that by that time you should be getting senile, what they say? That dementia should set in. Why? Because of the ability of the mind of Christ. When that spirit, that is why they are going to restore the years. That the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm has eaten. Everything you see in Nigeria today, they're going to restore it. That is why the Bible says that shall a nation be born at once? Yes, through the Jewel's army. You find that all the things that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, all the so-called people are eating now, in 1 year, then you wake up and see in Nigeria that Nepal is working, there is light, everything. I follow him. So that is their primary assignment. And the reason why the equipment that God is giving them is a spirit without measure. So I put it there. God began to explain to me what else are they going to do. Don't notice that I said that they're in the fourth watch of the seventh day, the dawning of a new day. Keep that in the back of your mind. They're going to trouble the hosts of Egyptians. Exodus 14:24. Egypt in the Bible speaks about the world. Are we there? Exodus 14:24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, critical, the Lord looked unto the host. That means the Lord was with them. But see, the Lord at the head of them. And unto the host of the Egyptians, and through the pillar of fire, and of the cloud again, and troubled the host of Egyptians. We know what happened. That's why Acts chapter 17, verse 6. These that have turned the world into Israel are come unto us. Put in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. I follow my train of thought. Egypt in the Bible talks about the world. So it says in the morning watch, God did not trouble them at midnight. He waited in the morning watch when a cloud was there. And he says, and when they found, and when they are found, they're talking about the apostles that had the measure. They drew Jason and asked certain brethren unto the cities, rulers of God, and crying, say, these that have turned the world, Egypt, upside down, are come with us also. God troubled the host of Egyptians. And the second, the third thing they're going to do is, Pastor Astor said, they're going to fill this house with glory and wealth. We all know, but I'm just saying this the way God brought it to me. I put it there. I say, they will fill the house with glory and wealth as they take Jericho for the financing of the gospel. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. And Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now, say now, Jericho was what? Straightly shut up. Why? Because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. I was thinking about it. The pastor would say, if you look at Forbes, whatever, that you don't, first one, you don't have had a Christian. They've shut the wealth up. No born again, spirit filled Christian, tongue talking. So they've shut that up. Jericho speaks about prosperity. But the Bible says, the reason why they have done it is because of the children of Israel. Because you know why? When children of Israel take that thing, they are going to use it to preach the gospel to the nations. And they are not ready to do that. And that is why, as we go into the promised land to possess Jericho, one must not be an Achan. Because God told them, everything you take, sanctify to me. So you must not take what is, belongs to God. Are you following my train of thought? The wealth that is coming. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. Joshua 6, 15. And it came to pass when, on the seventh day, that the word arose early about the word, the dawning of the day. And they compassed the city after the manner seven times only. On that day, they compassed the city seven times. They compassed it. So see that you are compassed about so great a crowd of cities. But it happened at the dawning of the day. You can see what God has reserved for the end. Also, he has saved the best wine for the last. So we can't afford to quit. So the last point I put, I said they will now take the glory and the wealth of the nations to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nation, and then the end shall come. We know that scripture, we know the turn there. But let us look at Zechariah. We all know the scripture to verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 8. There's something I believe God showed me. Are we there? We all know it. So, because, let's say, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations, which spoiled you. Now, listen. It says, for he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. So, when the glory arrives, you become God, the apple of God's eye. That is hidden there, the divine protection that the glory will bring. He said, after the glory, will he send me to the nations? He said, what? He said, for he that toucheth you, I will touch the apple of God's eye. Everyone said, the eyes were like a flame of fire. In types and shadows, I'm not saying that Jesus is natural eyes. Types and shadows. When this church emerges, it becomes the eyes of the Lord. I said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth. Follow my train of thought. Are you following me? The same Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth. I was looking for whose heart is perfect. I mean, show yourself strong on behalf to these great and strong people. Are you following me? Then if you look at again that same scripture in Joel, he said they shall run to and fro the earth. So when this church emerges, it speaks about the perfect church. They become the eyes of the Lord on the earth, his watchmen. With eyes like a flame of fire. The eyes begin to go to and fro the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are perfect, that they will not show themselves strong on their behalf. A strong and mighty people set in battle array. So that's what that's Joel chapter 2, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. He said they will run to and fro the city. Now, as I begin to close, how are we going to get to this? It's very simple. I read it earlier on. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. It says, by holding fast, let's go there. By holding fast to the instructions of the fathers to perfect the love of God. You see, you may not understand everything I've tried to describe, but what you need to go with this is, it will take the instruction of the fathers to perfect the love of God. You need to hold on to that. If you don't perfect that love of God, then you'll be walking away with that of darkness. Because 1 John says that he that hated his brother is in darkness. The darkness has blinded his eyes. That means if you are walking in love, you are not walking in darkness. Can you get that? It's that simple. So you see, you cannot just walk in love. You take instructions. He said, hold fast to instructions, for she is thy life. Are you following me? Proverbs 4:13, are we there? It says, but he that hateth his... Okay, put it back there. Let's just read it for. Say, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, the path of the wicked, and walketh in darkness, and will not be that he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Next verse. Next verse. No. How can you jump from Proverbs to 1 John? Have you sinned? It's just... Say, take fast all of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So if you look in the book of Revelations, it says something. I used to think that they had the crown. He said, hold fast to that which you have, so that no man take thy crown. What you have is the instruction of the apostle and the prophet. That's what brings the crown of glory. Crown of glory. Put it in the book of Revelations. When talking to the Philadelphian church, he gave them a warning. He said, hold fast. Say, hold fast. Say, hold fast. Take fast hold of what instruction. One instruction that you see in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1 of the Father. Let her not go. That means she can go. Keep her. Keep her, for she is thy life. A crown of life shall she give thee. Psalm 8. Oh Lord my God. He says that. Who has said to Jesus, that has made, he said, that has made him littler than angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. So when in 1 Peter, Peter talks about it, 1 Peter chapter 5, I can't remember how I put it, he said that whom the Lord, he said, at his appearing, he said that, talking to the elders, he said, put in 1 Peter chapter 5 as I'm talking, he said that when he appears, we will give him a crown of glory. It's not a physical crown. We will have a physical crown, I believe. But see, this crown is the crown of glory. When you have that glory, you just try to describe some, that's the halo they see on people. Talking about the fullness of the spirit that measure being poured out upon people. And so he says, take fast hold of the crown, for she is thy life. So simply put, how do we do it? It's by holding fast to the instructions that the apostles and the prophets have given us. And those instructions are not just other instructions for prosperity. It is instruction to perfect the love of God. So when that love is perfected, then the crown of glory is given. Now, what are we saying? We are now in that time that the cloud is risen in the heavens. And now, breaking down the instructions now, how do you perfect love of God? Have you been taught? We use the blood, the word, and the spirit to pray with all types of prayer in the spirit. That's how you perfect the love. And like again, going back to what we've been saying since morning, all these things go to happen at the dawning of this new day. That was in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He said, wake up a great while before dawn and depart to a solid place and pray. One more scripture or so before we go. Psalm 119, verse 147. Psalm 119, verse 147. It says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and I cried. And I hope in thy word. He wasn't crying physical cry. Even though he might have cried at that time. But I said, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. So he's talking prophetically. He said that I prevented the dawning of the morning. And I cried. And I hoped in thy word. The same thing said to them in the book of Revelations. That kept the word of my patience. I have not denied my needs. We are crying for the manifestation of that hope that we have in him to come into reality. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down our heads to pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. I believe the day is about to break. We need to stay in the path of the just. It's a straight and narrow road, but it leads to life. But I'm saying broad is the way. It leads to destruction. As you can see, that wicked boy says, why don't you take that? Because they are going to be cast, but that's not our portion. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. And we are your voice in the desert,
crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. How the trumpets call, we lift the voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, now Savior's come. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming a flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are white in the world. And we are the laborers in the vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, holy comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. How the trumpets call, we lift the voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, now Savior's come. Behold, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. How the trumpets call, we lift the voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, now Savior's come.
Let's put one hand onto our hearts and lift about the other unto God. Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. For the day of the Lord is here. It says, a great and a terrible day, a day of thick clouds and darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great and a strong people set in battle array. Praise the Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. Say, Jesus, name will have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to walk in the path of the just by obeying and submitting to the apostolic and prophetic ministries as I obey their instructions to perfect the love of God in my life, until the day dawn and a day star arises in my heart, making me a part of the end time cloud, your joyous army that will preach the gospel of a kingdom to the end of the earth and then close this age. In Jesus' name, let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, we say, Father, we confess our sins.